This is a cat.
KQAC-HD2, Portland, 89.9.
KQOC-HD2, Glen Eden Beach, 88.1.
KSLC-HD2, McMinnville, 90.3.
KQHR-HD2, The Dalles and Hood River, 88.1.
The rain, rain, rain came down, down, down in rushing, rising rivets, till the river crept out of its bed. He crept right into Piglet's. Poor Piglet, he was frightened with quite a rightful fright. And so in desperation, a message he did write.
He placed it in a bottle, and it floated out of sight.
And the rain, rain, rain started bailing. He was unaware atop his chair while bailing he was sailing.
And the rain, rain, rain came down, 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 and the flood rose up, up, up.
Who too was caught, so he thought,
I must rescue my supper.
10 honey pots he rescued, enough to see him through. But as he sopped up his supper, the river sopped.
And the water twirled and tossed him in a honey pot.
Canoe. Rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. When the rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. The rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. When the rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. The rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. When the rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. The rain, rain, rain came down, down, down. When the rain, rain, rain came down, down, down.
The complete works of Winnie the Pooh. The immortal stories from the books Winnie the Pooh and The House at Pooh Corner, and poems from When We Were Very Young and Now We Are Six by Alan Alexander Milne. Presented for radio, unabridged, in 18 parts. Produced by Christopher Toyne and performed by Peter Dennis. Part 15, in which Tigger is unbounced.
In which Tigger is unbounced. One day, Rabbit and Piglet were sitting outside Pooh's front door listening to Rabbit, and Pooh was sitting with them. It was a drowsy summer afternoon, and the forest was full of gentle sounds which all seemed to be saying to Pooh, "Don't listen to Rabbit, listen to me." So he got into a comfortable position for not listening to Rabbit, and from time to time he opened his eyes to say, "Ah," and then closed them again to say, "True." And from time to time Rabbit said, "You see what I mean, Piglet?" very earnestly, and Piglet nodded earnestly to show that he did. "In fact," said Rabbit, coming to the end of it at last, "Tigger's getting so bouncy nowadays that it's time we taught him a lesson. Don't you think so, Piglet?" Piglet said that Tigger was very bouncy, and that if they could think of a way of unbouncing him, it would be a very good idea. "Just what I feel," said Rabbit. "What do you say, Pooh?" Pooh opened his eyes with a jerk and said,
"Extremely."
"Extremely what?" asked Rabbit.
"What you were saying," said Pooh. "Undoubtedly."
Piglet gave Pooh a stiffening sort of nudge, and Pooh, who felt more and more that he was somewhere else, got up slowly and began to look for himself.
"But how shall we do it?"
asked Piglet.
"What sort of a lesson, Rabbit?"
"That's the point," said Rabbit. The word lesson came back to Pooh as one he had heard before somewhere.
"There's a thing called twistimes," he said. "Christopher Robin tried to teach it to me once, but it didn't."
"What didn't?" said Rabbit.
Didn't what?
said Piglet. Pooh shook his head.
I don't know, he said. It just didn't. What are we talking about?
Pooh,
said Piglet reproachfully.
Haven't you been listening to what Rabbit was saying?
I listened, but I had a small piece of fluff in my ear. Could you say it again, please, Rabbit?
Rabbit never minded saying things again, so he asked where he should begin from. And when Pooh had said from the moment when the fluff got in his ear, and Rabbit had asked when that was, and Pooh had said he didn't know because he hadn't heard properly, Piglet settled it all by saying that what they were trying to do was, they were just trying to think of a way to get the bounces out of Tigger, because however much you liked him, you couldn't deny it. He did bounce.
Oh, I see,
said Pooh.
There's too much of him, said Rabbit. That's what it comes to.
Pooh tried to think, and all he could think of was something which didn't help at all. So he hummed it very quietly to himself.
If Rabbit was bigger and fatter and stronger, or bigger than Tigger if Tigger was smaller, then Tigger's bad habit of bouncing at Rabbit would matter no longer if Rabbit was taller.
What was Pooh saying? Asked Rabbit. Any good?
No,
said Pooh sadly.
No good.
Well, I've got an idea, said Rabbit, and here it is. We take Tigger for a long explore, somewhere where he's never been, and we lose him there. And next morning we find him again, and, mark my words, he'll be a different Tigger altogether.
Why?
Said Pooh.
Because he'll be a humble Tigger. Because he'll be a sad Tigger. A melancholy Tigger. A small and sorry Tigger. And, oh, Rabbit, I am glad to see you, Tigger. That's why.
Will he be glad to see me and Piglet, too?
Of course.
That's good, said Pooh.
I should hate him to go on being sad,
said Piglet doubtfully.
Tiggers never go on being sad, explained Rabbit. They get over it with astonishing rapidity. I asked Owl just to make sure, and he said that that's what they always get over it with. But if we can make Tigger feel small and sad just for 5 minutes, we shall have done a good deed.
Would Christopher Robin think so?
Asked Piglet.
Yes, said Rabbit. He'd say, you've done a good deed, Piglet. I would have done it myself, only I happen to be doing something else. Thank you, Piglet. And Pooh, of course.
Piglet felt very glad about this, and he saw at once that what they were going to do to Tigger was a good thing to do. And as Pooh and Rabbit were doing it with him, it was a thing which even a very small animal could wake up in the morning and be comfortable about doing. So the only question was, where should they lose Tigger?
We'll take him to the North Pole, said Rabbit, because it was a very long explore finding it, so it will be a very long explore for Tigger unfinding it again.
It was now Pooh's turn to feel very glad, because it was he who had first found the North Pole, and when they got there, Tigger would see a notice which said,
Discovered by Pooh, Pooh found it.
And then Tigger would know, which perhaps he didn't now, the sort of bear Pooh was. That sort of bear. So it was arranged that they should start next morning, and that Rabbit, who lived near Kanga and Ruin Tigger, should now go home and ask Tigger what he was doing tomorrow, because if he wasn't doing anything, what about coming for an explore and getting Pooh and Piglet to come too? And if Tigger said yes, that would be all right. And if he said no,
he won't, said Rabbit. Leave it to me.
And he went off busily. The next day was quite a different day. Instead of being hot and sunny, it was cold and misty. Pooh didn't mind for himself, but when he thought of all the honey the bees wouldn't be making, a cold and misty day always made him feel sorry for them. He said so to Piglet when Piglet came to fetch him, and Piglet said that he wasn't thinking of that so much, but of how cold and miserable it would be being lost all day and night on the top of the forest. But when he and Pooh had got to Rabbit's house, Rabbit said it was just the day for them, because Tigger always bounced on ahead of everybody, and as soon as he got out of sight, they would hurry away in the other direction, and he would never see them again.
Not never?
said Piglet.
Well, not until we find him again, Piglet. Tomorrow, or whenever it is. Come on! He's waiting for us.
When they got to Kanga's house, they found that Roo was waiting too, being a great friend of Tigger's, which made it awkward. But Rabbit whispered, "Leave this to me," behind his paw to Pooh, and went up to Kanga.
"I don't think Roo had better come," he said. "Not today." "Why not?"
asked Roo, who wasn't supposed to be listening.
"Nasty cold day," said Rabbit, shaking his head. "And you were coughing this morning." "How do you know?"
asked Roo indignantly. "Oh, Roo, you never told me," said Kanga reproachfully.
"It was a biscuit cough," said Roo. "Not one you tell about."
"I think not today, dear. Another day."
"Tomorrow?"
said Roo hopefully. "We'll see," said Kanga.
"You're always seeing, and nothing ever happens,"
said Roo sadly.
"Nobody could see on a day like this, Roo," said Rabbit. "I don't expect we shall get very far, and then this afternoon we'll... Ah, Tigger, there you are. Come on. Goodbye, Roo. This afternoon we'll... Come on, Pooh. All ready? That's right. Come on."
So they went. At first, Pooh and Rabbit and Piglet walked together, and Tigger ran round them in circles. And then, when the path got narrower, Rabbit, Piglet and Pooh walked one after another, and Tigger ran round them in oblongs. And by and by, when the gorse got very prickly on each side of the path, Tigger ran up and down in front of them, and sometimes he bounced into Rabbit, and sometimes he didn't. And as they got higher, the mist got thicker, so that Tigger kept disappearing. And then, when you thought he wasn't there, there he was again saying, "I say, come on!" And before you could say anything, there he wasn't. Rabbit turned round and nudged Piglet.
"The next time," he said, "tell Pooh." "The next time," said Piglet to Pooh.
"The next what?"
said Pooh to Piglet. Tigger appeared suddenly, bounced into Rabbit, and disappeared again.
"Now,"
said Rabbit. He jumped into a hollow by the side of the path, and Pooh and Piglet jumped after him. They crouched in the bracken, listening. The forest was very silent when you stopped and listened to it. They could see nothing and hear nothing.
"Shh,"
said Rabbit.
"I am,"
said Pooh. There was a pattering noise, then silence again.
"Hello,"
said Tigger, and he sounded so close suddenly that Piglet would have jumped if Pooh hadn't accidentally been sitting on most of him.
"Where are you, huh?"
called Tigger. Rabbit nudged Pooh, and Pooh looked about for Piglet to nudge, but couldn't find him. And Piglet went on breathing wet bracken as quietly as he could, and felt very brave and excited.
"That's funny,"
said Tigger. There was a moment's silence, and then they heard him pattering off again. For a little longer they waited, until the forest had become so still that it almost frightened them. And then Rabbit got up and stretched himself.
"Well," he whispered proudly, "there we are, just as I said."
"I've been thinking,"
said Pooh, "and I think..."
"No," said Rabbit. "Don't. Run. Come on."
And they hurried off, Rabbit leading the way.
"Now," said Rabbit, after they had gone a little way, "we can talk. What were you going to say, Pooh?"
"Nothing much. Why are we going along here?"
"Because it's the way home."
"Oh,"
said Pooh.
"I think it's more to the right," said Piglet nervously. "What do you think, Pooh?"
Pooh looked at his two paws. He knew that one of them was the right, and he knew that when you had decided which of them was the right, then the other one was the left. But he never could remember how to begin. "Well," he said slowly.
"Come on," said Rabbit. "I know it's this way."
They went on. 10 minutes later, they stopped again.
"It's very silly," said Rabbit, "but just for the moment, I..." "Ah, of course. Come on." "Here we are,"
said Rabbit 10 minutes later.
"No, we are not." "Now," said Rabbit 10 minutes later. I think we ought to be getting, or are we a little bit more to the right than I thought? It's a funny thing, said Rabbit 10 minutes later, how everything looks the same in a mist. Have you noticed it, Pooh? Pooh said that he had. Lucky we know the forest so well, or we might get lost, said Rabbit half an hour later, and he gave the careless laugh which you give when you know the forest so well that you can't get lost. Ha, ha, ha! Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind.
Pooh,
he whispered.
Yes, Piglet.
Nothing,
said Piglet, taking Pooh's paw.
I just wanted to be sure of you.
When Tigger had finished waiting for the others to catch him up, and they hadn't, and when he had got tired of having nobody to say, I say, come on, to, he thought he would go home. So he trotted back. And the first thing Kanga said when she saw him was, there's a good Tigger. You're just in time for your strengthening medicine. And she poured it out for him. Roo said proudly, I've had mine. And Tigger swallowed his and said, so have I. And then he and Roo pushed each other about in a friendly way, and Tigger accidentally knocked over one or two chairs by accident, and Roo accidentally knocked over one on purpose. And Kanga said, now then, run along.
Where shall we run along to?
Asked Roo. You can go and collect some fir cones for me, said Kanga, giving them a basket. So they went to the 6 pine trees and threw fir cones at each other until they had forgotten what they came for. And they left the basket under the trees and went back to dinner. And it was just as they were finishing dinner that Christopher Robin put his head in at the door. Where's Pooh? He asked. Tigger, dear, where's Pooh? Said Kanga. Tigger explained what had happened, at the same time that Roo was explaining about his biscuit cough, and Kanga was telling them not both to talk at once. So it was some time before Christopher Robin guessed that Pooh and Piglet and Rabbit were all lost in the mist on the top of the forest.
It's a funny thing about Tiggers, whispered Tigger to Roo. Our Tiggers never get lost.
Why don't they, Tigger?
They just don't, explained Tigger. That's how it is.
Well, said Christopher Robin, we shall have to go and find them, that's all. Come on, Tigger.
I shall have to go and find them, explained Tigger to Roo.
May I find them too?
Asked Roo eagerly. I think not today, dear, said Kanga. Another day.
Well, if they're lost tomorrow, may I find them?
We'll see, said Kanga. And Roo, who knew what that meant, went into a corner and practiced jumping out at himself, partly because he wanted to practice this, and partly because he didn't want Christopher Robin and Tigger to think that he minded when they went off without him.
The fact is, said Rabbit, we've missed our way somehow. They were having a rest in a small sand pit on the top of the forest. Pooh was getting rather tired of that sandpit and suspected it of following them about, because whichever direction they started in, they always ended up at it. And each time, as it came through the mist at them, Rabbit said triumphantly,
Now I know where we are!
And Pooh said sadly,
So do I.
And Piglet said nothing. He had tried to think of something to say, but the only thing he could think of was,
Help! Help.
And it seemed silly to say that when he had Pooh and Rabbit with him.
Well, said Rabbit after a long silence in which nobody thanked him for the nice walk they were having, we'd better get on, I suppose. Which way shall we try?
How would it be, said Pooh slowly, if, as soon as we're out of sight of this pit, we try to find it again?
What's the good of that? Said Rabbit.
Well, said Pooh, we keep looking for home and not finding it. So I thought that if we looked for this pit, we'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because then we might find something that we weren't looking for, which might be just what we were looking for, really.
I don't see much sense in that, said Rabbit.
No, said Pooh. There isn't. But there was going to be when I began it. It's just that something happened to it on the way.
If I walked away from this pit and then walked back to it, of course I should find it.
Well, I thought perhaps you wouldn't, said Pooh. I just thought.
Try, said Piglet suddenly. We'll wait here for you.
Rabbit gave a laugh to show how silly Piglet was, and walked into the mist. After he had gone 100 yards, he turned and walked back again. And after Pooh and Piglet had waited 20 minutes for him, Pooh got up.
I just thought, said Pooh. Now then, Piglet, let's go home.
But Pooh, cried Piglet all excited, do you know the way?
No, said Pooh, but there are 12 pots of honey in my cupboard, and they've been calling to me for hours. I couldn't hear them properly before because Rabbit would talk. But if nobody says anything except those 12 pots, I think, Piglet, I shall know where they're calling from. Come on.
They walked off together, and for a long time Piglet said nothing, so as not to interrupt the pots. And then suddenly he made a squeaky noise. And a new noise. Because now he began to know where he was, but he still didn't dare to say so out loud, in case he wasn't. And just when he was getting so sure of himself that it didn't matter whether the pots went on calling or not, there was a shout from in front of them, and out of the mist came Christopher Robin. Oh, there you are, said Christopher Robin carelessly, trying to pretend that he hadn't been anxious.
Here we are,
said Pooh. Where's Rabbit?
I don't know,
said Pooh. Oh. Well, I expect Tigger will find him. He's sort of looking for you all.
Well, said Pooh, I've got to go home for something, and so has Piglet, because we haven't had it yet, and...
I'll come and watch you, said Christopher Robin. So he went home with Pooh and watched him for quite a long time. And all the time he was watching, Tigger was tearing round the forest, making loud yapping noises for Rabbit. And at last a very small and sorry rabbit heard him. And the small and sorry rabbit rushed through the mist at the noise, and it suddenly turned into Tigger. A friendly Tigger. A grand Tigger. A large and helpful Tigger. A Tigger who bounced, if he bounced at all, in just the beautiful way a Tigger ought to bounce.
Oh, Tigger, I am glad to see you, cried Rabbit.
Cradle Song. Oh, Timothy Tim has 10 pink toes, and 10 pink toes has Timothy Tim. They go with him wherever he goes, and wherever he goes, they go with him. Oh, Timothy Tim has 2 blue eyes, and 2 blue eyes has Timothy Tim. They cry with him whenever he cries, and whenever he cries, they cry with him. Oh, Timothy Tim has 1 red head, and 1 red head has Timothy Tim. It sleeps with him in Timothy's bed. Sleep well, red head. Of Timothy Tim. The Emperor's Rhyme. The King of Peru, who was Emperor too, had a sort of a rhyme which was useful to know if he felt very shy when a stranger came by, or they asked him the time when his watch didn't go, or supposing he fell, by mistake, down a well, or he tumbled when skating and sat on his hat, or perhaps wasn't told till his porridge was cold that his breakfast was waiting, or something like that. Oh, whenever the Emperor got into a temper, or felt himself sulky or sad, he would murmur and murmur until he felt firmer this curious rhyme which he had. 8 8s are 64, multiplied by 7. When it's done, carry 1, and take away 11. 9 9s are 81, multiplied by 3. If it's more, carry 4. And then it's time for tea. So whenever the Queen took his armour to clean and she didn't remember to use any starch, or his birthday in May was a horrible day, being wet as November and windy as March, or if sitting in state with the wise and the great he just happened to hiccup while signing his name, or the Queen gave a cough when his crown tumbled off as he bent down to pick up a pen for the same. Oh, whenever the Emperor got into a temper or felt himself awkward and shy, he would whisper and whisper until he felt crisper this odd little rhyme to the sky. 8 8s are 81. Multiply by 7. If it's more, carry 4 and take away 11. 9 9s are 64. Multiply by 3. When it's done, carry 1. And then it's time for tea.
Of course, as soon as Kangaroo popped the pocket, she saw what had happened. Just for a moment, she thought she was frightened. And then she knew she wasn't. For she felt quite sure that Christopher Robin would never let any harm happen to Roo. So she said to herself, if they are having a joke with me, I will have a joke with them. Now then, Roo dear, she said as she took Piglet out of her pocket. Bedtime!
Aha!
said Piglet, as well as he could after his terrifying journey. But it wasn't a very good
aha!
And Kanga didn't seem to understand what it meant.
Bath first,
said Kanga in a cheerful voice.
Aha!
said Piglet again, looking round anxiously for the others. But the others weren't there. Rabbit was playing with Baby Roo in his own house and feeling more fond of him every minute. And Pooh, who had decided to be a Kanga, was still at the sandy place on the top of the forest, practicing jumps.
I'm not at all sure, said Kanga in a thoughtful voice, that it wouldn't be a good idea to have a cold bath this evening. Would you like that, Roo, dear?
Piglet, who had never been really fond of baths, shuddered a long, indignant shudder, and said in as brave a voice as he could,
Kanga, I see that the time has come to speak plainly.
Funny little Roo, said Kanga as she got the bath water ready.
I am not Roo, said Piglet loudly. I am Piglet.
Yes, dear, yes, said Kanga soothingly, and imitating Piglet's voice too. So clever of him, she went on as she took a large bar of yellow soap out of the cupboard. What will he be doing next?
Can't you see? shouted Piglet. Haven't you got eyes? Look at me!
I am looking, Roo dear, said Kanga rather severely, and you know what I told you yesterday about making faces. If you go on making faces like Piglet, you will grow up to look like Piglet, and then think how sorry you will be. In the fashion, a lion has a tail, and a very fine tail, and so has an elephant, and so has a whale, and so has a crocodile, and so has a quail. They've all got tails but me. If I had sixpence, I would buy one. I'd say to the shopman, let me try one. I'd say to the elephant, this is my one. They'd all come round to see. Then I'd say to the lion, why, you've got a tail, and so has the elephant. And so is the whale. And look, there's a crocodile. He's got a tail. You've all got tails like me. The Good Little Girl. It's funny how often they say to me, Jane, have you been a good girl? Have you been a good girl? And when they've said it, they say it again. Have you been a good girl? Have you been a good girl? I go to a party. I go out to tea. I go to an aunt for a week at the sea. I come back from school or from playing a game. Wherever I come from, it's always the same. Well, have you been a good girl, Jane? It's always the end of the loveliest day. Have you been a good girl? Have you been a good girl? I went to the zoo and they waited to say, have you been a good girl? Have you been a good girl? Well, what did they think that I went there to do? And why should I want to be bad at the zoo? And should I be likely to say if I had? So that's why it's funny of Mummy and Dad this asking and asking in case I was bad. Well, have you been a good girl, Jane?
The Complete Works of Winnie the Pooh, performed by Peter Dennis, based on the stage show Bother. Music composed and conducted by Don Davis. Piano played by Gloria Chang and clarinet by Charles Boito. Production recorded and mixed by Jeff Sykes at KCRW Santa Monica. Executive producer Jacqueline Delorier. Radio production directed by Christopher Toyne. A co-production of KCRW and Bother LA Production.
You've just heard the complete works of Winnie the Pooh on ICANN HD2 and ICANNRadio.org. Unabridged recordings of the four Winnie the Pooh books can be found at danpour.com or by calling 1-855-369-6768.
That was In Which Tigger Is Unbounced. Join us every day for the complete works of Winnie the Pooh at this time on ICANNRadio.org. Tomorrow is In Which Piglet Does a Very Grand Thing.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped off his son? Bye, son.
That was a joke by my friend Michael. Coming up right now is Maestro Classics. It's all about a piece called The Merry Pranks of Master Till by composer Richard Strauss.
Meet Till Eulenspiegel. And this also is Till Eulenspiegel. And here is Till Eulenspiegel again. As you have just heard, Till had quite a sense of humor. Well, Till lived long ago, about 500 years ago, in Germany. He began as a sort of jester, entertaining crowds with his juggling and acrobatic tricks. But it was mostly his quick wit with which he tried to show people how foolish they could be that gave him his name Eulenspiegel, which suggests looking into a mirror with the keen eyes of an owl and seeing yourself as others see you. Now, grown-ups do not always appreciate this kind of self-illumination, especially when expressed by a person younger than themselves. For example, parents don't usually like being told they're wrong by their children. So this self-appointed judge of human behavior often got into as much trouble as he was appreciated. Here, then, are just a few of the stories about Till Eulenspiegel's merry pranks. Many, many years ago, there lived a little German boy named Till Eulenspiegel. Till was a clever fellow, and he lived by his wits, juggling here, playing pranks there, always eager to bring joy, laughter, and even wisdom to those he met. It happened one hot summer's day that Till hoped to earn some money at a picnic by tightrope walking across a stream in the middle of a park. He tied one end of his rope to a tree on one bank, then crossed to the other bank, where he secured the other end of his rope. Then he called all who would see him and boasted of his skills in walking across the stream on the rope from one side to the other. There were many who wished to see this, and so Till mounted the rope. But some boys at the picnic were jealous of Till's talent. Wishing him to fail, they sliced halfway through the rope on the opposite bank. And so, as Till reached the center of the stream, the rope snapped, and Till splashed headlong into the water. Wet and sputtering and very angry, although he pretended it was a fine joke, Till made this bet that one week later he would dance on the rope with all the boys' shoes. As promised, one week later Till appeared wearing a large apron. The boys gave Till their shoes, which he collected in his apron. He then mounted a new rope and began to cross the stream. The crowd was awed and silent as Till balanced on one foot and then on the other. Then he began leaping into the air, mixing up all the shoes and throwing them here and there and everywhere. The boys were frantic, trying to find their shoes. They claimed that Till had lost the bet, but Till said he had won. After all, he had danced on the tightrope with their shoes in his apron. He never said he would wear them. And so they learned this lesson, that you should not play a mean prank on anyone unless you are prepared to have one played on yourself in return. As Till grew older, he noticed how grown-ups often acted as if they knew everything. Till thought this was not so. When a group of pious priests came down the street in their black robes, Till found a similar costume and joined the group. He knew that they wrongfully sold places in heaven to people for money, which went into their own pockets. If you listen carefully, you will hear Till's voice in their company. Nya, 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 hummed Till, poking fun at his solemn companions. Sang Till once more in contempt. Recognizing this famous jester, the priests shook their staffs at him and chased him away. Then one day, Till saw a group of lovely young ladies coming towards him. "Hello, ladies, and how is your day?" he said, tipping his jester's cap. "Hello, ladies, and how is your day?" he said, tipping his jester's cap. "Hello, ladies, and how is your day?" he cried once more, and he danced before them, smiling gaily. But the more he tried to impress them with his friendliness, the more odd he appeared to them. Frightened, they turned away from him and rebuffed his advances. Outraged by their reaction, Till shook his fist at an unfair and unfriendly world. Eager to find himself in a more friendly place, Till traveled to the city of Prague, where there was a fine university. Here were many learned professors who believed that no one could be more clever than they. So Till challenged them to ask him questions. "Tell us," they said, "how many gallons of water are there in the sea? Answer us properly, or you shall be driven from the city in disgrace." "Good masters," replied Till, "order all the rivers, rains, and streams to stop flowing into the sea, and I will measure them for you." Knowing this to be an impossible request, they went on to a second question. "How far is it from earth to heaven?" "Not far," answered Till. "If someone in heaven were talking, you could hear him right here." "If you doubt me, go up to heaven right now and ask me something. I will answer you right away." The professors were furious with Till. He was making them appear foolish because they could not prove him wrong. The town dwellers of Prague, however, thought Till to be a clever fellow and rewarded him with 20 pieces of gold, which made him sing with joy for many days to come. And so it went with Till as he traveled from town to town. One day, he was working for a tailor as an apprentice, when his master told him to make the stitches for a coat so that no one would see them, he crept into the darkest closet he could find to sew. And, of course, no one could see stitches in there. Thus, he did what his master had ordered. But, as you can imagine, the sewing was a disaster. Or the time when he worked for a very stingy baker who ordered Till to sift the flour for a cake but would not give him even a candle to see by. "Use the candle God has given you. Use the light of the moon." So, at midnight, while the baker slept, Till took the flour into the courtyard and, in the bright light of the moon, sifted it all over the ground. "Just doing what you told me to do, sir," explained Till the next morning, as the baker chased him from the shop. So, while Till's sense of humor held great amusement for many, he had also made many people angry. He began playing too many pranks on too many people. Till was now out of control. Of whom Till made fun? Well, they remembered him for his disrespect towards them. And in those days, that was a serious crime. So he was arrested and brought before the judges. "I have done nothing wrong," pleaded Till. "I have only tried to entertain people and to show those who would be too serious or mean or stingy or solemn that they must put smiles on their faces." The judges, however, were just like the persons whom Till had described. They considered him a sneak, a thief, and a public nuisance. Sentenced to be hung until dead. "Surely you jest," cried Till.
"Hang him,"
ordered the judges. "This isn't fair," cried Till.
"Hang him,"
ordered the judges.
"No,"
screamed Till. They put the rope around his neck. Chided Till from the scaffold. They dropped the trapdoor. And so Till died. Many, many years ago, there lived a little German boy named Till Eulenspiegel. Till had been a clever fellow who lived by his wits. He juggled here and played pranks there, bringing joy and laughter and even a little wisdom to those he met. His spirit teaches us that lightness of heart and cheerfulness of mind are needed in our lives. But we should learn what Till failed to understand, that we must choose our audience wisely, because for some people, humor is no laughing matter.
You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org. Turkish March by Beethoven. You're listening to ICANN, and it's time for Maestro Classics. This is The Tortoise and the Hare.